God is good.
Hallelujah. All the time.
God is good all the time.
All the time.
And his mercy
endures
forever. Yeah, his mercy endures forever. So God is great and greatly to be praised. All right. The book I'm going to look at this year is Ezekiel. The book I'm going to look at this year is Ezekiel. Now, few of you have read it, and if you read it, you didn't understand it. So that's why I'm going to treat that one, because it's a special one. And when I'm done, you'll understand the power is not at all what appears on the surface. It has to do with us. It has to do with us. So let's look at, before we turn to that one, let's look at, let's see, Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Okay. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So, the only way you can approach God's house, his presence, his glory, is through Jesus Christ. So he's the one that's going to lead us to the rock that is higher than I. And your Father in heaven loves you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. We have the only God that's good because we have the only God. He not only is a forgiving Father, he's also a cleansing Father who cleanses you from all unrighteousness, but he's also a perfecting Father who will perfect you by the time Jesus Christ returns in a very few years. So you don't have to save yourself, forgive yourself. That atonement has already been made. You don't have to cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness. God promises to do that. You don't have to perfect yourself. God certainly will begin his good work, continue it, and finish it. And so you'll be perfect when you see Jesus. You'll be perfect when you see Jesus. Now that doth not yet appear. So don't expect to see it here before his return. But when he returns, you'll be like him. You'll be just like him. This book of Ezekiel that I'm about to read is a startling view of the temple of the living God, which you are. You are the temple of the living God. So this, he's one of the great four prophets of the Old Testament, meaning have large works. But he's one of the four. Ezekiel means God is strong, and I'm going to add these words, which it doesn't literally say, but which it means. He is strong to help you, to separate you from your sin, and to make you holy according to his gift of holiness, which comes in Christ Jesus. So he is strong, Ezekiel. That's the literal meaning of Ezekiel, is God is strong. But he's strong to help you by separating you from your sin. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. So that kingdom of God that's within you is your will your mind, your emotions, they must all be subdued before you can be perfected. So every day, he reminds you that your will is not God. Your mind is not God. Your emotions are not God. You're to be like God, but you are not to be God. You're to be like God, but not to be God. You can behave like him and manifest his glory on the earth as it is in heaven. That's when you are perfected, and just before the marriage supper of the Lamb and ruling and reigning and becoming the new creation. So this book of Ezekiel is an amazing book. Chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I, Ezekiel, was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin, or sometimes him, Jehoiachim, or Jehoiachim. That was the king that did not obey God, and he found the king of Babylon came and captured him. Because he rebelled. He was a rebellious king. And he did what he wished to do and did not bow to Nebuchadnezzar. He did not bow to the Kashtim, the sons of Cush, the sons of Nimrod. And because of that, God sent him into exile. Now, Judah was not supposed to go into exile, but he did go because he did not pay attention to God. The word of the Lord, verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, the Cushtim, the Kashtim, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So, he had, the heavens were opened, and he had visions. He had suddenly seen visions, but he's now declaring, God humbled me, and his hand was on me. And I knew the good hand of the Lord was on me to speak to me so that I may speak to Israel and warn them of their sins. It's just like today, the Lord is warning the lukewarm church of its sinfulness, of its mixture between church and state, of its idolatry, of its injustice. The church today is not clean. And I and David and others want this church to be clean, not so you go to heaven, but so that heaven gets into other people. Because it isn't, you're not living for yourself. You're living for Jesus. And unless you love your neighbor as yourself, he won't come back. He's only coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And that means all your sins have to be gone. And you have to be perfected. So I'm not putting any pressure on anybody to do anything. I'm just telling you what the gospel says. The good news is not just that you're forgiven, but he also wants to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and he also wants to perfect you. Nobody can do those three things. Nobody can do those three things. They kill your flesh, your mind, your will, your emotions, so that they don't reign. They're submitted to God, not to be God, to be like God. And so you have to subdue your will, your mind, your emotions every day. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, which is kind of like fire red, out of the midst of the fire. Verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Four living creatures. Now, before I even go forward, does anyone know, don't say what they are, but does anyone know who the four living creatures are? Okay. One does. Anyone else? Four living creatures. Okay. The word in the Hebrew is chai. Life. So that's the Hebrew word for life. C-H-A-I. In English. So chai is like life, life, l'chaim. As in Fiddler on the Roof. Life, life, l'chaim. In other words, this chai, living creatures, are alive. They're creatures of God. They're his revelation. And that's the revelation that we all have. Every one of you has these four creatures. So, now, could you name one of the creatures? Yes. Oxen? Yes, one of the creatures is an ox. Can you name another one of the creatures?
Bear.
Which one?
Bear.
A bear? No, not the bear. That's another one, but not, that's not this one. Yeah. Nope. But you're close.
Ox.
Ox? Yeah, that one has been said. So that one has been
Eagle.
Said.
Hmm?
Eagle. Eagle, yes, that's another one.
Okay.
That's another one. That's the fourth one. What is another one?
A man.
A man. Exactly. Oh. Very good. This is a very good group. Who's your pastor? He's smart.
She knows.
She knows.
The lion.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. The lion. Matthew, Mark, Luke,
and
John. The four Gospels.
Yeah.
So this is the revelation, the good news of the New Testament, what this temple is all about. These four living creatures each have four wings. They have four faces. And I've just said to you what the four faces are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of those. The eagle is John. The lion is Matthew. The man is Mark. And the ox, or oxen, is then Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the Orthodox Church, there are some around, in the Orthodox Church, there are four pillars in the front of the church, every single church. It's usually done in an octagon, eight-sided, referring to the first day of the week, which is Sunday to Sunday. It's the eighth day. And that means something new. And one is lion. The other one is man. The other one is what?
Eagle.
No. Eagle's last.
Ox.
Ox. And the other one is the eagle. Now, the eagle represents the heart. So, when you read the book of John, the Gospel of John, it speaks to the human heart. The others speak to the mind, or will, or other aspects of man. The first one is the Lion of Judah. When Jesus comes back, he will be not a lamb that takes away the sins of the world, because the day of mercy and grace is over. When he comes back, that day is over. And everyone is what they are. So whatever you're filthy, you stay filthy. Whatever you're righteous, you stay righteous. So on that day, you will see now that he's made a separation, just like he's talking here, about sin in the church, sin in my house, sin in God's house. There is sin in the house of Israel. And Ezekiel was raised up to speak about the sin that remaineth in the house of Israel and why they will someday be cursed by Jesus Christ when he curses the fig tree. And he curses it forever. However, there's always hope. Even after the curse, that means some will not survive. Others, however, will be purified. They are the ones that will be priests after the order of Melchizedek in the house of Israel. Not an Aaronic priest. Not an Aaronic priest. So this is a new kind of new creation. Life, life, l'chaim. These people have eternal life promised to them. And so they will come out of the great tribulation. We will not. We will not. We will be spared. But those in Israel who escape, they actually came out of the tribulation, but survived. So even though many were destroyed, at least one third of them are spared. So it's a very small remnant of Israel. Very small remnant of Israel. And they are named, they are even numbered in the book of Revelation. So this book of Ezekiel is almost impossible to understand. Wheels within wheels and fires and amber and living creatures and they have four faces and all of this. So I'm breaking it down so that you understand it's all about us. Everything that he spoke then is still relevant today. That's why Jesus is walking among the seven lampstands and revealing the sins of his church to each church age. And now, for the last 2,000 years, that is Jesus is interceding for his church. Come out. Don't be cold or lukewarm. Be hot. That's us. That's exactly what we're preaching and living and teaching here, is that it's possible for Christians not to be lukewarm. It's possible for you to hear the word of the Lord and confess your sins daily. You have to do it every day. Why? Because one day you confess pride, and the next day you're proud that you weren't proud anymore, and now you still have pride. And so he just keeps showing you over and over again what your sins are. And they don't leave right away. They don't leave right away. I'm sorry about that. It doesn't leave that quickly. So he has to then deal with the seven Girgashites and Malachites and so on and so forth that are inside of each of us. And that's why the 8 points of daily prayer have different strongholds inside of us. Pride, anger, lust, self-pity, doubt, and so on and so forth. All those mafia heads of Satanism, idols, have to be destroyed every day. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But it's a battle that most Christians don't even know about. They don't even know how you do spiritual warfare. But you have to destroy the kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. You cannot see it. It's not the Antichrist. It's not out there. The kingdom of God is within you. This is where the kingdom is. Subdue your mind, your will, your emotions. You have the victory. You're an overcomer. So this whole temple that we are going to describe, not this week, but we'll describe it over the coming months, will be powerful. And I looked, and behold, verse 4, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was all about it, in and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, verse 5, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. That's one of them, Mark. And everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. In other words, they walked in righteousness. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, ox. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. And they went, everyone, straight forward, righteously. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They also had the face of an eagle. So, the four that we mentioned, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, lion, Lion of Judah. It's written for the Jews. That book always has in it, as it's written in the Old Testament, so-and-so. As it is written in the Old Testament, so-and-so. As the scripture says, so-and-so. The next book is written by Mark, which was written to the Romans. It was written to the Roman Empire, those that were Christians within the unrighteous, unclean Roman Empire. It's written to them. It's very short, very brief, almost like headlines in a newspaper. But it's written to the Roman mind, which are interested in power and force to try to subdue the world and bring peace. You cannot bring peace through force, coercion. You have to bring peace from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So he's spoken about in Matthew, the lion, and then Mark, the man, and then Luke, the oxen, which is written for the Greek mind. That's written with the Greeks in mind, not the Romans, not the Jews. But the last one, the eagle, John, is the most powerful of all because it speaks to the human heart, no matter who you are, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Roman, whether you're Gentile, whether you have the Greek mind, it doesn't matter. All of those, even though it speaks to all those, it's trying to remove all the sins of those churches because it's a righteous book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And everyone, they all have the same face, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So they have four faces and four wings. With two, they cover their bodies. With two, they fly. But if you tried to read this, you would not understand what I'm saying to you. So I'm just saying, listen carefully. You can get the tape if you want. And then later we'll explain everything. But for right now, it's a picture of the church that you will see with your own eyes on the earth when Jesus returns. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, face of a lion, on the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thus were their faces and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone more were joined one to another, and those two covered their bodies. And they went, every one, straight forward, righteously. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. In other words, they did not apostatize. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like a burning coal of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, chai, life. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures, chai, life, ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel, now you introduce the wheels, upon the earth by the living creatures with four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. It's like gears. So a wheel within a wheel. We'll explain all these things later, but for right now, you can see why no one wants to read this book, because it's weird. It's strange. But it's a spiritual truth about a very spiritual temple, which is us. It's all about us. It's all about who we are. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. In other words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all agree. They're telling the same story, but from a different point of view. Holy, holy, holy. Remember the angels, the cherubim sang that above the Ark of the Covenant? In the New Testament, it's justified, sanctified, and glorified, chair 4, 5, 6. So, all of these weird things that I speak about are not weird at all. They're actually the Bible truths of the New Testament revelation, which then leads us to the rock that is higher than I. When your heart is overwhelmed, someone has to lead you to the rock that is higher than you. Yes, Willis.
Justified, sanctified.
Glorified.
Glorified.
That's your walk. Your walk is always... Glorification is doxa in Greek, which means your outward manifestation. You're showing Jesus. You're not showing yourself. That's why they don't glorify you. They glorify your Father in heaven. When they see you working, doing things, they realize you have peace of God. You have the love of God. You have the joy. You have all these fruits. Well, they're not you. They're actually Jesus. You're manifesting Jesus, who manifests the Father according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So, don't try to understand this with your mind. Just listen to it, and then as time goes on, we'll unfold these mysteries. And as for the rings, what are they? As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them. Four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up, whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. In other words, what made this living creatures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that they're not only perpetual forever, but they moved, and they have wheels within wheels that make them move whatever way they were, but they always go straight. They never go to the left or to the right. They went straight forward because they were righteous people and they stood upright like God originally intended in the creation of the world, that everyone was to be his steward, to be his servant, to be his creature. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are revealed to us. Again, I will say, people do read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but have no idea what they're reading or who this is addressed to. So the first is to the Jewish people. The second is to the Romans of the day who rule the world. The third is for those with sharp minds like the Greeks always thought they had. And then the last is the heart. If anything does not touch your heart, it is not of God. Everything that touches your heart is a promise. Is a promise from the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. You're spiritual. That is what the heart is all about. You no longer have a heart like anybody else. You have a new heart. You have a new heart. You're a new creation. Kine katesis. You have a brand new creation. Almost done. When they went, verse 21, these went, and when they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament, another word, the likeness of the firmament upon the heads, four heads on each one, of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal. That means it's like glass. Stretched forth over the heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, which means peoples, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host, when they stood and they let down their wings. Now, you see, from what I've said, it's a mystery to you. You see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are very powerful. Those Gospels, they're the words of Jesus. Everyone has words of Jesus written in red letters in some Bibles. But those he's talking about these living creatures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the Old Testament, referring to our day. Referring from the day of Jesus 2,000 years ago until today. Now he's about to come back, maybe in our lifetime. I think so, but it doesn't matter. It's soon, and very soon doesn't mean anything to us, but it means something to God. It means the next thing on my agenda. So God is about to come back and show himself to his bride. And we will then drink anew of the fruit of the vine in heaven itself. You won't drink it on the earth. You have never drunk the best wine has been saved to the last. You have never drunk this wine. It's created in heaven itself for the marriage supper of the Lamb, marrying us. Powerful. The Jews will then join us. Those Jewish people who now go through the tribulation but escape by God. They escape and they join us in heaven. They are one with us because God promised that to Abraham. Will I have any children from Isaac? Will I have any, you know, children from Israel. You know, will I have any children? Yes, you will. Here they are. So they are the ones that are spared, even though they're killing off many, many Jews that are still under the yoke of bondage, trying to please God by doing things. God does not want you to do something that he's already done in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So you cannot do what's already been done. You cannot perfect by human works, which are always imperfect. You cannot perfect yourself. Only God can make the new creation, Jew and Gentile. And under the firmament, verse 23, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 23, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side. Everyone had two, which covered then on that side, their bodies. And as they went, I heard the noise of the wings like the noise of great waters, lots of people, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. This is spoken of the host of heaven that always accompanies God, and when Jesus comes back, they will accompany Jesus. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over them, over their heads. And when they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. This is the great white throne of judgment, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it, the Son of God. And I saw as the color of amber, fire, color, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward. And I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, in other words, no sin, and it had brightness round about. These were perfected men and women. It's referring to you and I. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So, which reminded us that God will never again flood the world. And so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This is the last verse. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So everything here is about worshiping God in the temple of the living God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written words of God. Jesus is the living word of God. So those four gospels lead us now unto the living word of God, Jesus himself, who is the one that sits upon the throne. He is the one that sits upon the throne. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face worshiping, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, that brings us to chapter 2, which we'll do again this year. I want to give the highlights of what Ezekiel saw, because he was said, if I tell you something to say, it'll be a warning against Israel's sin, because they're a rebellious house. I'll talk about this later. And that rebellious house has to hear, because if you don't say it, your soul will be required. But if you warn them and they don't obey, that's their problem. But if they do hear and repent, that's your joy. You saved your life and theirs. So right now, David and I and others, we have to preach this gospel to you, that getting rid of your sin is not, oh, he already forgave it. No, no, he forgave it, but he has not cleansed you. Your sin is still with you, And Christians still sin. Christians still sin. So do not hold that against a Christian or against anyone. They sin because they're ignorant if they're not believers, or they're not well taught if they are believers, or they're not walking in the Lord because they're believers. We must bring all those out and warn them, because he's a watchman over the house of Israel. But we are the watchman in our day to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and spiritually declare that, not with force, just simply sharing what God has said, so that people then before God can take care of these matters. Because if you have even one spot, one wrinkle, one stain, one blemish, you are now rejected and will not then find the mercy. Mercy, by the way, ends the minute he returns. He's coming with vengeance for the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. So there's no more mercy and grace. We've already had it now. It's still that time. It's still that time of mercy and grace. But it'll end. And when it ends, it'll be vengeance and then deliverance. The delivered for the righteous, and the wicked perish forever. And they'll all be raised up later for the great white throne judgment, the last thing on earth before time runs out. That's the last thing on earth. So this is a powerful chapter, and by reading it, I'm going to exhort you to read it. But I know you won't. But I'm going to exhort you to read it, because I don't force. I'm just saying to you, you will get more out of what I say if you read it than you will if you just, oh, that's a neat idea. You don't get much out of it. Because I'm not going to inspire you. I'm going to teach you what the Word of God saith. There's where your life is. Life, life, l'chaim. That is what the Jewish religion is in truth. But in fact, it's misery. In fact, they're under law. They're under the bondage. In fact, it's worse than anything being in Egypt or in Babylon and Persia and so on. It's worse than that for them. Being under the law of God, they were set free to be under the law of God. But under the law, nothing's made perfect. So they never arrive. They will be destroyed when Jesus comes back again. But the remnant, small remnant. With us, it's not small. It's innumerable. You can't even number it. How many Gentiles are able to get into the kingdom of God? I don't know, because I can't judge the heart. Only God can judge the heart. So I have no idea who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. I can tell by your life, you might be having a little problem, but I still can't judge you. Jesus reserves that to himself. All judgment has been committed to me, Jesus said. All authority in heaven and on earth is now mine, he said, as he rose from the dead. So he will judge the world with equity, which means equal to the reason for which God originally made you. Equal to the original mandate on you to be a steward and give an account for every decision you make and every action that you take. Everything. You will answer for everything. But by the time Jesus comes back, we've already been judged. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. You will be then whisked away into heaven because we've been snatched from the fire. You don't go through any wrath. No wrath of God is for the children of God. It's only for the wicked. So God comes back to destroy their wicked forever. Why? Because they refused to repent. They refused to... They were rebellious. They rebelled just like Nimrod rebelled. And they still want to build the Tower of Babel and make a name for themselves and be proud. Sorry. It doesn't work. You'll have to humble yourself. If my people, who are called by name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, not somebody else's. and heal their land. Well, the problem in America today is you cannot heal it. America cannot be healed. There's no way. You can't kill off the other team, and they can't kill off our team. So it's a sad occasion. We're no longer America. There's two Americas, at least. And so we're now completely destroyed as a nation. You're no longer one nation under God. De jure, it says that, but de facto, it's not true. There are two nations. They believe opposite things. They don't disagree on how you get there. They disagree on everything fundamental. We hold, you know, this way. California is doing it. All states that want to rebel, they'll rebel against the rule of law. They'll do what they want. So we're in for trouble ahead. And the fault? The church. The church is the fault. Us, you don't just say, well, I go to church. No. You don't say, well, I've been forgiven. No, that's not it. You have to live in such a way that you reveal Jesus wherever you live and work and carry on your occupation down here, your ministry down here. So God wants a different church than we're used to. Go to church, give your tithe, you know, witness on Thursday nights and so on. It's not that. It is something more. Chair 4, 5, and 6. You will be perfected by Jesus Christ. And he's coming back for that pure church. That's not to scare you. It's a matter of just warning you. I have to warn you. And what you do about it is up to you. I don't care. I don't even examine you. I cannot. We can only examine people from the outside. God knows them from the inside. So God is able to judge. So everyone here is a Christian, as far as I know. But I can't guarantee it. I can just say, you look okay to me. But I have no idea what's really going on in your heart of hearts. Because a lot of people are today in utter rebellion against not only nature, but nature's God. So you are no longer the great nation we were intended to be. One said, as long as America, the American people, are good, they'll be great. But the moment they cease to be good, they will lose everything. Well, he might be accurate. That was a foreigner from France, came over to study things. And that's what he concluded. I think he was right. So I'm not into playing church or performing church things. I'm into being a Christian with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and loving neighbor as myself. I'm a servant. I don't have a life. I do not have a life. All my life is in Jesus. It's derivative. It's borrowed. So what I say has to be scriptural. If it isn't scriptural, backed up with authority, then it's just me. And it's worthless. So everything we do, I notice most Christians that I meet are not joyful. They're not powerful. They don't hear God every day. They don't confess their sins on a daily basis. They don't rejoice and dance and sing in his presence. Not criticizing, I'm not critical at all. I'm just saying it's a fact. They have no close walk with God. When times are tough, that's where you see who then is freely able to do whatever it takes to obey God without force. Wanting to, and I do, I want to. I have no reason to live except to serve my wife, serve my family, love the church, pray for my enemies, and bless them, and so on. That's all. I'm just a servant. And so I don't care whether I live or die. I'm not interested in living or dying. My life is already taken care of. I know that he loves me, And I'm not worried about how I appear to anybody else. That being the case, that's what you want. You want to hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Even pastors that I know, they easily are snared. They easily fall into being worldly, adapting things to the worldly wisdom, to the worldly ways. I don't know what to make of that. That's not me. I want to be free and remain free forever. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I will never be a slave. I'll be killed before I'll be a slave. I don't mind that. But if I'm going to perish, it doesn't bother me. Perishing, I've already lived my life. I'm happy. I'm always happy, and I will always be happy. Even though you take everything from me, it means nothing to me. So I would like some of you to be right where I am. It's a joy. I tell you, it's a joy. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, who wants to testify? What did you learn today? What truth did you see? Jack.
Well, Jim, I have a question. Some of these manifestations that are outlined in the chapter, first chapter.
Yes.
Are these things individual, or do they apply to the group?
Group. The latter. It's the church. This is a book about the temple of Ezekiel. The temple of Ezekiel is group. All one. Jew, Gentile, new creation. And so it's what we do in a corporate fashion. And so he's coming back for a church. Remember, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her, being the wife of the Lamb, or it, referring to the church as a thing. So it's either her or it, but it's not he. The church will never be he. Christ is our bridegroom. We're the wife of the Lamb. And soon we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Celebrate that. So this is a time. So did anyone get anything out of what I did today? Yes.
Well, I just, for a minute there, my heart started beating fast when you were talking about cleaning up and all that. And then I just remember, I just have to rest. I'm not trying to stop sinning. I'm trying to look at Jesus.
Right.
And then it's easy.
Easy.
It's not a work. It's restful.
Totally.
Just relationship.
Perfect.
Not having to sweat.
Great testimony.
Yes. Amen.
Great testimony. Amen. It's exactly right. We lived 100% by promise. No other God makes a promise. Their promises are conditional, which means they're not promises at all. If you behave, then I will. Ours is unconditional. He doesn't want you to work and do anything. The reason he forgave your sins is because you have a new heart, so that from then on you will not work, because you can't work. Even though you think you could, you can't. Until you are at rest in him, I'll trade you labor and burden. I'll trade you that for rest. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I give you rest. He's trading us. He's exchanging your life for his. I'll do all the burden. You get all the blessing. I'll do all the burden. You get all the blessing. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll perfect you. I'll come and marry you. I'll give you the prize. I'll give you the inheritance of eternal life. I'll give you everything you're seeking, more than you've ever imagined. So those promises are what we live by. And the Bible is full of promises. Every word in the Bible is a promise. It may have the form of a law, but it's not a law. It's the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets me free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 1 and 2. So there's no condemnation. Once you're a Christian, you don't go back and become a slave again. Some do. That's apostasy. But once you're free, you're free. Whatever you do, it's no longer counted. Because God counts the blood of Jesus as you. What he did for you. It's perfect. You can now laugh and rejoice and relax. Let's say you don't. It's easily forgivable. So God is not interested in you helping out or cooperating or being a co-worker with him or, you know, cooperating. No, no, no. Don't do anything. Let Jesus do it all. People are afraid that he won't do it. He will do what he said. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Now, people are afraid of that. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'll help out a little bit. No, you cannot help out. Once you're free, you're free. You cannot go back and be a slave again. You're not a slave of sin anymore. So, things that you would not forgive, God forgives. God forgives. He even loves his enemy. His enemies are not his enemies at all. They have enmity against him, but he doesn't have any enmity against them. In fact, he made the sacrifice, letting Isaac and his seed, which is capital S, seed, Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's coming back as King of Kings, the Lion of Judah. And he will, every knee will bow, every tongue, I mean every knee will bow, even those that hate him, they will bow their knee and say, he is Lord. He, that one, is Lord. Whether they do it, however they do it, they know, uh-oh, that's God. That's the Son of God. And people will be convicted. So whether they turn to the Lord or don't turn to the Lord, that's between them and God. All right. So this book of Ezekiel is talking about a temple that no one has ever seen. You are that temple. So this is all about you. And the Jews, a remnant, a very small remnant, will also be part of the same body. No difference between Jew and Gentile. All right. God bless you all.